WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Scepter Records was one of the last great independent rock and roll labels. A new box set offers a retrospective of the label's music, and that's the occasion for a look back by our rock historian, Ed Ward. Yesterday, Ed described the rise of Scepter Records in the late 50s and its discovery of the Shirelles and Dionne Warwick. Scepter concentrated on Warwick even to the point of passing on Aretha Franklin when she was offered to them in 1966. Today, Ed tells us how the label wound up bringing black music into the middle of the road.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by.
By the end of 1963, Scepter Records was 5 years old, and the nutty dream of Florence Greenberg, the middle-aged Jewish housewife from New Jersey who'd started it on a whim, had come true. With her ace producer, Luther Dixon, she'd established the Shirelles as one of the nation's top acts, launched the careers of Chuck Jackson, Maxine Brown, Tommy Hunt, The Kingsmen, and Dionne Warwick, and was nurturing the songwriting and production careers of the dynamic team of Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Mrs. Greenberg had turned into a very savvy businesswoman, and the industry took her very seriously indeed. What could go wrong? Nothing, really, but things could change. Luther Dixon had proven himself, and now Capitol Records was offering him an awful lot of money to take his Lou Dix Productions operation to their company. The slick Bacharach and David Productions weren't his thing. Mrs. Greenberg gave him her blessing, and Dixon left. But the rougher R&B records were important to Scepter's catalog. Who would produce them? The answer was her son, Stanley.
Since I found you, baby.
Since I found you.
Since I found you.
Since I found you.
Since I found you, baby.
Since I found you.
My life has changed.
Yes, it has. Oh, yeah.
Since I found you.
Ooh, since I found you.
There's no more dark clouds.
Actually, Stan Greenberg had help on some of his productions, like that Maxine Brown number, from Ed Townsend, a sometimes singer who would later produce Marvin Gaye's mature masterpieces. But Stan did okay by himself, too.
When my friends told me you had someone new, I didn't believe a single word was true. I showed them all I had.
And, like his mother, he had good ears for emerging songwriting talent.
We, the Girls' Society,
we find him guilty.
No, I'm innocent.
We find him guilty.
No, I'm innocent. I've been accused of cheating on my best girl, but I swear I wouldn't do her wrong. For nothing in this world.
We find him guilty.
No, I'm innocent.
We find him
guilty. No, I'm innocent. A witness says she saw me.
That Chuck Jackson Maxine Brown duet might be the first big break Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson got. Since the 1963 blockbuster Louie Louie, Scepter was always interested in regional hits recommended by their field promotion staff. So when Steve Tyrell, their Texas guy, told them about a Houston show band, the Triumphs, Mrs. Greenberg lent them an ear. She liked what she heard.
Did you hear that lonesome whippoorwill? It sounds too blue to find. The midnight train is winding low, and I'm so lonesome I could cry.
The lead singer, Billy Joe Thomas, BJ Thomas, was tall and handsome, and it wasn't too hard to talk him away from the band and into recording with Steve Tyrell in Memphis. Electric sitar and Hooked on a Feeling notwithstanding, Mrs. Greenberg stayed well away from the psychedelic craze, steering Scepter ever closer to the middle of the road. There would be one more soul hit and one more rock hit, though, and they were good ones. Get On Up by the Esquires is a classic Chicago Sound soul record, even though the group was from Milwaukee. As for the rock record, in the grand tradition of Louie Louie, it wound up banned. The Boys, the group that wrote and recorded Timothy, swore the record wasn't about cannibalism, that Timothy was a mule, but that cut no ice with most radio stations. As the 70s wore on, most independent record companies aligned with major labels or disappeared. Thanks to Dionne Warwick's string of hits, Mrs. Greenberg was able to keep Scepter going until 1976, working with Sam Goff, the man who'd married her daughter, the one who'd brought the Shirelles to her attention. But finally, the label had to fold. Mrs. Greenberg retired, a wealthy woman, thanks to her crazy idea. Her story would make a great movie, an idea which has not escaped Disney Studios, who are planning to make one, starring Bette Midler as Florence Greenberg. Sounds like a hit to me.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle. The box set, The Scepter Record Story, is on Capricorn Records.